T-Mobile is putting Time Out. Let's start a GoFundMe for Citrix. CompTIA putting the Kapow in ISOW. And a happy sysadmin day to all you protectors of the internet. These stories and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning. Welcome to the July 29th episode of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco, live from Build It. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent. Here in New York City. Sorry about the background noise. There's a lot of things happening, but look at the view behind me. That's my view.
That view is gorgeous. And I want to say thank you. Last week you were battling the bug. This week you're battling internet and you're still making it happen. All of that just so we can get into the news.
So with that, let's get into the news. Let's go there.
In our top story, T-Mobile to pay $500 million for one of the largest breaches in history, in U.S. history. Even though the mobile carrier admitted to no guilt, it has agreed to shell out $350 million in settlement, and at least $150 million will be invested in improving its data security. This comes after T-Mobile not fully disclosing information about the August 2021 breach and building proper safeguards to protect its data in the first place. Not only was the company not transparent in regards to the hacked accounts where Social Security numbers were leaked, but was also found to not rely on rate limiting, an industry standard practice for data protection. T-Mobile says it regrets its security practices that allowed the data breach, but plaintiffs say it was the company's lack of transparency when it happened that had the most negative effect on customers. According to the company, approximately 76.6 million people had their private information stolen. Customers affected by the breach view their data as forever compromised because of T-Mobile's weak security choices. Moving forward, the mobile carrier announced their efforts in protecting affected customers' data by offering 2 years of free identity protection services, as well as suggesting ways for customers to protect their own data. T-Mobile is also offering 2 years of McAfee's ID theft protection service to anyone believes they may have been a victim. Tony, this seems standard practice. We lose your data. We give you 2 years of identity protection and whoops. And we saw this with Sony, right? It was cheaper. They did this as a business decision. It was cheaper to pay the fines and pay for whatever fallout than it was to do the security. And they went into it knowingly. Is there any excuse for this? How do you feel as a customer cell service?
I have 3 points. The first question I have is, have we ever talked about security before? I don't think we've ever talked about security before. So I'm wondering, maybe they just weren't aware of security issues.
I think this marks our first story that has a security breach and nothing to do with MFA. Thank you for that.
Nothing to do with it at all. The second thing is there's a McAfee documentary coming out on Netflix next month. Can't recommend it enough. I got some sneak previews. So we'll see how the McAfee solution is going. And finally, what the... I don't understand. Why is this constantly happening? And it's becoming at a larger and larger level. Is it the question of, hey, I'd rather say I'm sorry than actually do the implementation of best practices? Is it because the cost of those best practices implementation is going to be far more or equal to the, hey, I'm sorry, we'll give you some free McAfee, pat you on the back, good talk, we'll talk to you next time. I just don't know why this is constantly happening. I'm not happy about it. Customers aren't going to be happy about it. The industry is not happy about it, but it's happening more and more every single day.
You know, and that's the thing, right? I'm happy to see, don't get me wrong, I love throwing big numbers at you. $500 million sounds awesome as a soundbite, but let's be honest, it's $350 million, which is not a small chunk of change. I'm happy to see it, but making them invest $150 million when they should have invested it to begin with is mind-boggling. This is getting wrapped on the hand because, you know, I used to get in trouble in I went to Catholic high school. I used to get in trouble in Catholic high school because my shirt wasn't tucked in. I can't tell you how many detentions I got for not doing something that stupid in retrospect. And it seems like that's what this is. It's $150 million so they can lock their doors, turn on MFA, and tuck their shirt in. I'm so sick of hearing these stories. So why don't we move off to the next story? You got a story about Citrix needing a dollar or two?
I do. As shown in channel E2E.com, private equity activity has actually caused the Citrix buyout that we all have heard about, we've all talked about, back in February of 2022 for $16.5 billion. That's per Bloomberg. The funding for this has been pushed back until after Labor Day, U.S. holiday, because they're having trouble financing this. I want to repeat what I just said very clearly. They're having a problem paying for this. We'll get to that in just a moment. Interest rates were increased just yesterday by 0.75%, which had a substantial impact on this particular deal and other deals of such magnitude. Many private equity deals involving debt financing will be affected. The advice for the MSPs that are going through this massive M&A process at this point from Channel E to E and Joe Panettiere is, hey, stay humble, keep growing your EBITDA, your earning before interest, tax, depreciation, EBITDA, what's the A stand for?
Earnings before interest, tax, deductions, and appreciation.
Yes, and appreciation. And your ARR, keep increasing that. If you find a potential buyer knocking on your door, you know, be sure to ask, how do they plan to finance this deal? Here's where I'm going with this, Ray. People are buying other people. Entities are buying other entities. But the interest rates are going up, and we all know that. And it's affecting them. It's not just affecting them. It's all out stopping them. This huge deal that everyone talked about in the industry is now put on hold because they can't pay for it because of 0.75% interest rate hike that just happened yesterday. And there's 3 to 4 more of those expected to come in the next few months ahead just to slow down the economy so we don't have a problem with inflation. And for those who are thinking, oh, it's just PE firms, you know, hey, it's not going to be the mom and pop. The teachers' funds, all the union funds are the ones backing those PE firms. That's what they're putting the investment in. So, of course, it affects everybody. It affects everyone drastically. I'm terrified about this article. I think that this is going to affect, this is going to ripple throughout the community. And it's an imminent iceberg that we're all headed for in some way, shape, or another. Ray, give me your thoughts on this. Unpack this a little bit. Is the sky falling for me, or am I seeing something?
So I'm all about those silver linings, right? And so my savings accounts keep getting notices saying that the interest rate I'm getting is going up. Yay, that 0.25% no, but it's true though, right? And so for those of us that, and you and I are both in that camp, but those of us that survived through the dot-com burst, right? The bubble burst, you know, we've always been wary of if it's going to come again. We see these massive purchases. You know, we talked about Datto, $6.2 billion. We talked about unicorns in the MSP industry and VCs going absolutely bonkers on MSPs. You know, so we've been wondering how far can this go? Where can this take us? So to see this stuff coming down a little bit, I'm not really that upset about it. Things have been skyrocketing for a long time. The market has needed a little bit of correction. I hate the fact that interest rates are going up, but you know, maybe we're going to stop seeing a little bit of these acquisitions, because my bigger concern, especially as it comes back from enterprise back to the MSP industry, is too much consolidation, right? We went from big four to the big three. And there's other players. I'm not knocking any of the other players, but traditionally there were big four, PSA, RMM. Now there's big three. And I don't want to see it where it's just one big conglomerate MSP or one big conglomerate vendor out there. Not that I think we'll ever get to that point, but it was getting pretty damn close. So to see these sales stop slowing down, even if it's artificial due to interest rates or lack of funding or whatever it is, I'm not upset about it. I you know, now I could be completely off. You're watching this. If you agree with one of us, both of us, neither of us, let us know in the comments. Hit us up, news@mspmedia.tv. Let us know on Reddit, Twitter, Smoke Signal, whatever you can do. Hit us up, and we will absolutely bring it on air and discuss it because we want to know. Earlier this week came out a report from security research firm ZeroFox advising of a malicious actor posting the following: looking for a partner for MSP processing. I have access to the MSP panel of 50 plus companies, over 100 ESXi servers, 1,000 plus servers. I want to work qualitatively, but I do not have enough people, quote unquote, the translated message said. Additionally, in terms of preparation, only the little things are left, so my profit share will be high. Please send me a message for more details and suggestions. Several security experts shared the message to LinkedIn and Twitter to warn potentially affected MSPs. Yesterday, another Reddit post advised Kansas City-based MSP NetStandard was hit by a cybersecurity attack. To be clear, there are no confirmations that the two incidents are related. However, to discuss the importance of rapid information sharing, we have the Executive Director of CompTIA ISOW and VP of Cybersecurity Programs, Wayne Selk. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm good, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Especially with all the with everything going on, it's nice for you to take time out of your day. I know you're preparing for ChannelCon next week, and I'll be there. Very excited. But I want to take a few moments to talk about this because the CompTIA ISOW, for those that don't know, is an information sharing organization, part of CompTIA, that shares security related events and notifications. Is there any part I'm missing out of that, Wayne?
Yeah, the members actually post on things that they're seeing as well. So they're able to share information and data back with, you know, the community as a whole. So if they're seeing something, the whole community can take advantage of it, not just the individual MSPs.
Absolutely. And to CompTIA members, the ISOW is an option for them, but to technology service providers, it is an included benefit as part of the CompTIA membership. That's something you guys announced earlier this year, I believe. And that just goes to show the importance of this kind of information sharing. Now, when it comes to this, you know, there's a fine line, right? You want to get the information out to the public, but you also want to make sure you're not getting it out there to make an even bigger target of what's already affected. How does the ISOW combat that? How do you address that?
Sure. So folks have to be approved for access into the ISOW, right? So we don't just allow anybody to join. We gate it. Actually, individuals are double gated if you want to look at it from that perspective. They have to have a CompTIA login membership, right? And then they also have to log in, register specifically for the ISOW and log into the ISOW with multi-factor. And we also use TLP or Traffic Light Protocol. Our threat analysts use that all the time with our threat reports. And we just carry that through to the community as a whole.
And that's one of the more recent additions, not the TLP protocol, but the actual tagging of the messages. I remember the discussions last year where one of the downsides of having access to all this information is you never know what's actionable, what's information only. Can you describe the TLP protocol just at a high level for those watching?
Sure. Very high level, right? So the TLP actually started on the federal government side as part of the relationship with InfraGuard, the FBI public-private relationship, because they were sharing information already with private sector. It's really just a number of different color codes, white, green, red, amber, I think, is in there too. So you just need to know. White can be shared freely, distributed freely. It's general kind of information. Green is kind of more focused. So that's where it starts to get kind of narrowed in its focus, who you can release it to. Red, obviously, is the highest at the end of the day. And that is for very, very limited distribution at the end of the day.
And that's the real benefit of being part of organizations like this. I've been part of InfraGuard for over a decade, back from my police days. You know, and obviously I'm a member of CompTIA ISAL and very, very happy to be part of it because the information that comes out and the information sharing, right? The collaboration back and forth between the security providers, the service providers, those affected and those watching to share the information of what they're seeing. It's invaluable. We'll of course include links to all of that in the show notes below. But you know, what would you say is the strongest benefit of being part of the CompTIA ISAL? What do they do in events like this when we're not sure who the affected MSP is? What kind of actions do you guys take when these things come up?
Well, that's actually a really good question. So we have a network of individuals already. So like with this particular event, obviously we are reaching out into our network. I had a relationship with Zero Fox back in the day. That's a long story. Find me at a conference and I'll talk to you about it. But I actually have a conversation with them next week, believe it or not. But anyway, the point is utilizing those relationships to try to see if we can get more information to help the impacted organization, right? And we can kind of gate that information so that it's not out there at the end of the day. We don't even have to share it with other members. But we have the resources internally. There's the Chris Layers of the world. There's the Huntresses of the world, right? There's other folks, right? Jason Slagle, I could go on and on, that are active members inside the ISAL, and we can actually help drive those things a lot faster to the organizations that need it at the end of the day.
Awesome. Well, I know you have a packed day. You'll be at, I assume you'll be at ChannelCon next week, right?
Yes.
And I will as well. We'll include links to CompTIA, to the ISAL, to Wayne's LinkedIn and InfraGuard and other resources. Wayne, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you too. And if anybody needs any information about wanting to join the ISAL or what kind of benefits, reach out to me. I know they put my LinkedIn information down below. My email address is also available. Reach out to me anytime, wselk@comptia.org. And we're just here to help, right, at the end of the day. Thanks again,
Ray. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Take care.
Notable mentions, Google Chrome will soon show you the strength of your passwords. A password indicator flag was recently spotted in the latest Google Chrome builds, which is proof that Google is developing a new feature for Chrome that will display how strong or weak your password is. Users who may benefit most from this are the ones who are not aware of extensions such as LastPass, 1Password, Keeper, and others. One advantage to this is that users will no longer rely on third-party solutions. Another is that users will feel safer because it isn't created by unknown developers. It is unclear when it's going to be available to all, but it should be available on desktop platforms, Mac OS, Windows, Chrome OS, and Linux. Tech giants like Microsoft, Google, and Apple are working on passwordless solutions to eliminate the need for passwords, which may mean using biometrics instead. Until then, thank you to Google for this new feature. And in feedback from our YouTube channel, and please feel free to comment below. Mason Schmidt says, yeah, some people live off printed documents. I personally can't stand papers. I avoid papers too much, but that's my preference. I'm right there with you, Mason. Absolutely. If there were no printers, no fax machines, I would have a happy day. In next week's upcoming events, August 2nd through August 4th, in-person event, CompTIA ChannelCon in Chicago. Tony Francisco and myself will be there. August 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch presented by yours truly and Mr. Tony Francisco. 8-3 at 12 p.m. Eastern, Build It Better MSP Discussion Group presented by Everything MSP. 8-5, 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. 8-5, 5 p.m. Eastern, 38 at 38, brand new episode number 3 with Connor Swalm of Finn Security. And that's it for Happy SysAdmin Day in July 29, 2022. Thanks for sitting with us for these last couple minutes of MSP Dispatch. Tony, I hope you have a phenomenal time. I'm insanely jealous of the good time I know you're having over there.
wish you were here. I apologize about the internet connection, everyone. This team is amazing. The production staff on the back end that's making it all work, the news that's coming in, just everything about this is awesome. And I wish you were all here, Ray, especially you.
And I decided on doing a new thing. I'm working on different sign-offs. I'd been doing the Jerry Springer for quite a while. I think I'm gonna do a new different one. And if you can figure out where it's from, put it in the comments and we may send something nice to you. But for today, that's the news, and I'm out of here.
So, all you IT professionals, this is a message from Ninja One. Now, Ninja One has told me that you're having a problem. It's your job, remember this, it's your job to help people at your company with their computer issues. You're smart, so you have a system. It's as simple. All employees have to do is submit a ticket. But some just won't do it, no matter how often you remind them. You can't be rude, because you have to be helpful. However, I couldn't give a f*** about their feelings. So Ninja One asked me to record this message and pass it along to you. Simply, f*** off, submit a ticket. Thank you. Bye.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
All of that just so we can get into the news.
So with that, let's get into the news. Let's go there.
These stories and more on today's MSP. All right.